And we're holding on Lamed Amud Beis, seven lines from the end of the middle size line. The line begins Shenamar. We started talking about yesterday about the various things, Kol Mitzvos HaBen Al Av, which means all the mitzvahs that a father has to accomplish for his son, and we listed there are five things, and according to Yesh Omrim 6, we said the father has to mal his son, do a pidyon haben, teach him Torah, marry him off, and teach him a trade, and Yesh Omrim also to teach him to swim. So we went through the first few of them already, how we know that a father has a chiyuv to mal him and do a pidyon haben, and teach him Torah, how we know in each of those cases the mother is potter, and we went through some agadah about the importance of learning Torah and how it protects a person from the Yetzihara, and so on and so forth. So now the Gemara continues, seven lines from the end of the middle size lines on Lamed Amud Beis. Lasia Isha, the next thing is we said a father has to marry off his son. Menolon, so where do we know that from? Dichtiv, you have a posik. The context of this posik is that Yirmiya is sending a letter to the Jews who are already in Babel. This is after Golos Yechonia, so 11 years before Churban Bayis Rishon. You have the Choresh V'Hamaske, the great Talmid Chachamim, have been taken in Golos in Babel. And Yirmiyahu, who writes them a letter, he says, you have people over there, you have false Nevi'im, who are telling you, don't worry, you're not going to be there very long, you're soon returning to Israel. It's not so, you're going to be in Babel for a while, Golos Babel is going to last 70 years. So he tells them, settle in over there, and among other things, he tells them, k'hu nashim, marry wives, v'hilidu bonim uvonis, and produce sons and daughters, k'hu levneichem nashim, take wives for your sons, and your daughters you should give in marriage to men. So in other words, settle in there and then get ready, you're going to be there long term. The point is, in other words, that Yumio is telling them that they have a responsibility to see to it that their sons and daughters get married. So the Gemara asks, this Shlema B'noi, I understand how it works with his son, the Yodai, it's in his hand to accomplish that, because the man who usually looks for a wife to marry, Ella Bita Yodahi. But when it comes to a daughter, is it really in his hand? It's usually the man who looks for the woman, not the other way around. So how is it? How can we tell the father you have to marry off your daughter? This Gemara is also in Ksuba. So Rashi over there explains it that way, and Tosfos explains that the question is really. So in a similar vein, in other words, that usually a man, it's easier for a man to find a woman that he wants to marry rather than the other way around. So what do we mean what does Yirmiyah mean when he's telling the parents, see to it that your daughters get married? So the answer is Hachikam Alohu. He means to say, Nitin Lamidi, the father should be giving her something. The Lavshi Ibn Chastia, he should be giving her money or other resources with which she can get food, with which she can get clothing and coverings. Lavush is regular clothing. Chastia to cover her would be like outer wear, like coats or whatever. So she's dressed nicely. That way, people are more likely to be attracted to her and to make shidduchim with her. So it's true. Ultimately, it'll be up to the chassan to come and find her, but the father at least can do his part to make it more likely that people will pay attention to her. And for that reason, we learned in Ksuvus that you have the concept of parnosa. We have the concept that the chachamim earmark a certain part of the Yerusha in particular. If the father passes away, the Chacham earmarked a certain percentage of it that should go to Parnasa, that should go to exactly that, outfitting his daughters and preparing them and preparing for a Nadin and everything that they're going to need for marriage. Here, by the way, the Gemara doesn't ask the question how we know that the mother is potter from this, and the same thing it doesn't with the rest of them. The Ran talks about, but after all, when you get down to it, we know that women themselves don't have a chiyuv to get married. The concept, the mitzvah to get married is primarily on the man because of pruvu, and women aren't commanded in pruvu. Therefore, the Gemara knows already if the mother herself is not chayev in it, then there's no reason to assume that she'd be chayev in it for her children. Okay. The next one was Lalamde Umnus. The next one was that a father is responsible to teach his son a craft, a way of making a living. So Manolon, where do we know that from? Omachizkiya, de omakra, yavaposik, re'echayim im isha asher ahavda. See life with the wife that you live. So the chayim over here refers to something that he can live off of, a craft, something that he can do for a living. So why does it mention im isha asher ahavda, with the wife that you love? So it depends. We can look at the word isha as two possibilities. Im isha mamashi, if it means an actual wife, then the point is that the pasuk is making an equation, is making a hekesh between them. Im isha mamashi, keshem shechayev vahasiya isha, then just as we established based on the pasuk in Yirmiyah that the father has to marry off his son, kachayev lalamde umnos, the same way he would be responsible to teach him a craft. So the point would be, again, re'eith chayim, see a life, see, in other words, that you're, that you should have an umnos, that you should have some kind of craft that you can do, im isha, together with the wife that you love, which means, in other words, exactly that. So you have the father has a chiyuv to marry off his son and also to make sure that he has an umnos. The im torah, if you're going to say that the isha over here is a remez on Torah, as we find, for example, that among other things, Eishes Chayil is a remez on Torah. Well, then we would say Kishem Shechayil Alamde Torah Kachayil Alamde Umnus. And the point of a comparison would be just like the father has to teach his son Torah, as we established before from Mishinatam Levanecha and the various other psukim that we bought, the same way he has to teach him an Umnus.
So why does the Mishnah put the marriage before the umdus? It's not very logical. It should be the other way around. How can someone get married without umdus?
It's a good point. The truth is, the Me'iri talks about over here on the Gemara, he says maybe the father is not necessarily required to teach him umdus unless he hasn't taught him Torah. He learns, now, you know, we're going to have at the end of the Masechta, we're going to have the expression of Reb Nahoroi, that never mind all the umnius in the world, I'll teach my son Torah, and that will, and he'll live, and that will be what he really needs in order to live. So the Me'iri takes that up and says, let me finish the sentence. The point is, in other words, it comes out from that it's one or the other, Torah or umnus. So therefore, maybe it puts umnus last, because that's only like if he hasn't learned Torah, then not. Other than that, I guess you could say first we're dealing with the ones that, for example, the one from the getting married, we learn from a pasuk in Nevi'im, the umnus we learn from a pasuk in Ksuvim. That might be a reason to put them in that order. It's true. It is true. We learned in Soita that a person should have a bias and a kerem and then only then get married. Yeah.
Right. But if it was either Torah or umnus, then it would just name Torah. It would be obvious that if it's not Torah, it would be umnus.
Not everybody is cut out to learn Torah on that high level. We'll talk about at the end of the Masechta, that's the Shem. We'll talk about what Reb Nahoroi says. We'll talk about what the other things that it says in the Mishnah over there. We'll get to it when we finish the Masechta, that's the Shem, about what the deal is. I mean, we do, after all, have, on the other hand, it says in Pirkei Avos, Yofer Talmud Torah in Derech Eretz. So there is a lot about that, about the interplay between learning Torah and having a job, having a craft, and to what extent you need one and to what extent you need the other, and then to what extent you need both. Most people need both, after all. The reason that you're asking, the reason why it puts them in this order, I guess for Pashto said maybe one answer could be because of where we learn them from, respectively. Maybe it's going through in the first the ones that we learned from Chumash, which were to mal him, to do a pidyon aben, and to teach him Torah, then the one from Nevi'im, La'asiyah Isha, and then the one from Ksuvim, which is Lalamde Umnus. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then the Braisa said, "V'yesh omim afla hashite v'nahar." Some say the father also has to teach the son how to swim. So my time, because that's also part of his chayus, because the son's life may depend on that. If he's going on a boat or whatever, and it sinks, then he needs to know how to be able to save himself. Okay. Then we had the end of the Braisa of Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda had said, anybody who doesn't teach his son a craft is teaching him robbery. And the Gemara asks, like it had asked when we first quoted the Braisa, listus sakadai, that's when he means robbery. The fact is he hasn't taught him robbery. Ela ki'ilu melamde listus means as if he's teaching him robbery. Because as we said, in other words, like this, if he doesn't have any kind, if he doesn't have a gainful employment, how is he going to earn a living? So he's going to figure that he has no choice but to go and steal and rob. Now, what is Rabbi Yehuda adding to the Tanakhama? It's a nice vote of Rabbi Yehuda's, but he doesn't need to say that unless he has a point that he wants to make that he feels the Tanakhama left out or that he disagrees with. So my Benayu, the Gemara says, what's the practical difference between Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakhama? And the answer is, Ikabinayu de Agmara Iska. The Nakamina would be, what if the father teaches the son to do business, to buy and sell for a living? Well, according to Tanakhama, good. He taught him a way that he can earn a living, so that's good enough. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda is saying not. Rabbi Yehuda is saying, Kol Sheinu Malamde Umnus Malamde Listus. So Rabbi Yehuda is insisting that he has to teach him Umnus. So Rashi explains, because what if a person, so an Uman, a craftsman, is always going to be able to find what to do. As long as the raw materials are available, and they nearly always are, then he'll be able to continue earning a living. A seicher, on the other hand, depends on there being schoda available. So what if there's no schoda? What if there's no merchandise available, and he still needs to support his family and pay his bills? Then he might feel that he has no choice but to engage in listus. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, it's not enough, like you, Tanakhama, say, teach him to run a business. You have to teach him an umnus, something which no makes what he'll be able to keep on doing. Tosfos Uriah Zakin makes a different point, which is with schora there are ups and downs. Sometimes you gain money, sometimes you lose it. So again, if a person is doing schora, he may end up losing a considerable amount of money from it, and then decide that he needs listers. Whereas if he's an umnus, it's not going to be that way. Yeah, what's the question?
The question is this: if you don't teach Torah, the Mishnah says, if you don't teach Umnus, you're going to have listim.
Right.
Torah, you don't. Right. Kavah Chomer for Torah. If you don't teach Torah, you're also going to have listim. So much more, actually.
Right.
Why
so
the Mishnah does?
Well, keep in mind.
Why the Mishnah doesn't mention both?
Okay, so keep in mind what we learned yesterday is that we said the minimum amount the father has to teach his son, in other words, to hire a Malamed and so forth, is to teach him Mikra. Now, a person, and we find in many Gemaras, a person can't live a full life of Torah on the basis of only Mikra. Ultimately, he's going to have to learn Mishnah and Talmud as well, in order to know fully what it means to be a Yid and what it meant and what exactly the Halacha is. So maybe therefore Rabbi Yehuda is not focusing on that, because you can't very well say if you don't teach him Torah, you're teaching him listus. The fact is, even if you do teach him Torah, you're teaching him maybe only the bare minimum of Mikra, and that's not really enough anyway. The son is eventually going to have to learn it on his own, or unless the father can find somebody to teach the son for free or whatever, but to that extent, he doesn't have a chiyuv. But here, when it comes to Umnus, we're saying when it comes to umnus, you can be a beginner, you can be an expert or whatever, one way or the other, you can make a living from umnus, but if you don't have it, only if you don't have it at all, then melamde listus.
But still, you see a lot of umnim who are crooks and listim. You need to run.
You have a lot of umnim for what?
You have a lot of umnim who are listing, they crooks, they simply don't.
Well, I mean, there's a limit how much, you know. We're not saying that if you do all these things, your kid is guaranteed not to be a crook. There's still, obviously, you have to teach him midas tovus and all. That's what we said yesterday. Ad yodach al tzavri b'dibreich, while you still have him under your control, you have to teach him musar and midas tovus. You hope you work as much as possible that it'll take, and your son will be an Erel Chayid. What we're talking about over here is more that a person might we're not talking about over here so much maliciously as a person might figure, look, I've got a family to support, I've got no money, what else am I going to do other than listus? So therefore we're saying proactively teach him an umnus so that he doesn't feel that he needs to be reduced to that. If he has an umnus and nevertheless he decides to cheat, there's only so much you can do about that. He is his own person, after all. You have to give him a chinuch. You hope chinuch l'nar al pidarkei. But we can't, you know, if he does engage in Listos, obviously it's going to reflect badly on his parents. But we're not getting into that level of detail, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's that. So that covers all the things we said in the Braisa that the father has to do for the son. So now the Mishnah, now going back to the Mishnah had said kol mitzvah sa'aval ben b'chola, that on the other hand, all the mitzvahs of the father on the son. So we said both men and women are chayiv in that. So my kol mitzvah sa'aval ben, what does that expression mean? Ilema kol mitzvah sa'aval aval meber lebrei, does it mean all the mitzvahs that the father is responsible to do for his son? For example, to mal him and do pidyon aben and so forth. So what do you mean? Noshim chayavus. What do you mean? Women are chayav. But Hatanya, didn't we learn in the Braisa before? Ha'av chayav b'nei l'mulay v'leftosei. The father is responsible to mal and to do pidyon aben and so forth. Aviv ein imay loy. Only the father, not the mother. Rishonim explained the ritva that you know, we had the opposite question when we first started the Gemara. What does kol mitzvah aben ala av mean? And the Gemara thought the other way around. Maybe it means kibud avraim, and it concluded that no, it meant the mitzvahs that are listed in that brisa. So now the Gemara is doing it the other way around. The point is, in the Beis Medrash, when they first learned this Mishnah, they asked about both parts. What is kol mitzvah aben ala av, and what is kol mitzvah av ala ben? Back to back, where the question was, does maybe kol mitzvah av ala ben mean Does kol mitzvah haben ala av means the ones that the son has to do for the father, kibbut av, kibbut and murder, and kol mitzvah haben ala av ala ben would be the other way around, the ones the father has to do for the son. And we concluded that no, it means the other way around. The first part of the Mishnah is talking about what the father has to do for the son. The second one is what the son has to do for the father. And then when Ravina and Ravashi composed the Gemara, they put each piece where it belongs, where it's dealing with that part of the Mishnah. Anyway, so therefore, so Omer of Yehuda Amarav, Hachikamar, what the Mishnah means is, kol mitzvah sa'av hamotelos ala ben lasis la'ovim. All the mitzvahs regarding the father, where the son is obligated to do for his father, kibud avraim and murder avraim, echad anoshim ve'echad noshim chayovin, both men and women are chayiv in those mitzvahs. Which, therefore, tanein alohad the tanin abanan. So thereby, in the Mishnah, we've said briefly what it says in more detail in a braisa, which again means that braisa is a libur dehilchse, it is accepted by halacha. That, now you have the pasuk that says, ish imoy v'oviv tiro. So the braisa darshan the pasuk when it says ish, a man should fear his father and mother. Ainli ella ish. So you would think that means only a man. Maybe a woman is potter from that mitzvah. Ish aminayin. How do we know a woman is chayav? Kshu oima tira u. When the pasuk continues, you plural should fear. Hare kan shnayim. Then that means two. Otherwise, it would have said ish imi v'aviv yira or tira or something like that. So therefore, it's addressed to both men and women. Im kain matamid loymar matamid loymar ish. Well, then why does it say ish in the first place, which would mislead us into thinking that only men are chayev? So the reason is because ish sipik v'yadei lasis, because the man is always capable of doing it. He's even whether he's married, whether he's not married, he can always do kibbud and murder. So it starts with ish. Isha and sipik v'yadei lasis, but a woman doesn't always have the means of doing kibbud and murder. They should reshus achedam aleha. Because the reshus of others, of her husband, is on her. She's responsible to, she has responsibilities towards her husband. Her husband kind of, she's meshubad to her husband. Tosfos says, we don't mean necessarily the fact, for example, that maisi yadeha, that her earnings go to her husband. That is true, but that's only dirabanan, and here we're talking about a daraisa level already. So rather, what it means is, practically speaking, she's living with her husband, she's not necessarily around her parents, so she's not always capable of doing kibbud and murder for them. So that's why the pasuk starts with the word ish, to imply the man, it's unconditional, but the wife, not necessarily. A couple of achronim deal with the interesting question. I mean, kibbud is one thing. Kibbud, we're going to learn later on, includes, for example, providing them with food and clothing and serving them and whatever. Fine, she's not always around to do that. Murder, though, for example, is, let's say, not sitting in their place, not calling them by their first name, not contradicting them or whatever. Why shouldn't a married woman be able to do that just as well as a single woman? How is Rishus Acherim Aleha a contradiction to that? So there's a couple of answers. The Maharal gives a couple of answers. He says, for one thing, suppose the father, suppose the parent directly asks the child, do something for me. If the child doesn't do that, that's not only a violation of kibud, but also of moira, because they've disobeyed their parents. Well, again, the wife may not be able to do that because her husband comes first. He says another point also, which the Maharibe Rav says this point as well, which is one of the things of moira is not to contradict them. Well, again, with a married woman, if her husband says one thing and her father says something else, then her husband comes first, so therefore she may not have the ability, the full ability to do moira in that case. With that said, though, you know, the Shach says if the on Shulchan Aruch, if the husband doesn't object, then of course she has the chiyuv of kibud and moira. And in fact, you know, if the husband is a decent guy, then he'll arrange things in a way that there won't be a conflict like that. So the Gemara continues. Amarav idiba oven amarav nisgarsha shneim shavim. Once the woman is divorced, then they're back to both being equal, and she has an equal chiyuv of kibud av v'eim as a man. The chiddush being, in other words, the ritva says, you shouldn't think once she was potter in the first place, then she remains potter forever. No, it's only that she was potter temporarily because there was something that, not temporarily, we hope her marriage lasts to la'erach yamin, but the point is, she was potter at the time because of circumstances, but that doesn't potter her from leaving. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to get into a discussion about kibud and moira, about these two mitzvahs. Tana Rabbanan, the pasuk says, Nema kabed is avicha v'asimecha. The pasuk says, honor your father and your mother. V'nema, and you have a pasuk in Mishlei, kabed is Hashem mehoincha. Honor Hashem from your wealth. So it uses the same word, kabed, for both of them. Therefore, we learn from that, Bishra Kosov, Kibud Avraim, Lekvoid Hamokim. Therefore, we see that the Torah is comparing Kibud Avraim to honoring Hashem. So honoring parents is as important as honoring Hashem. Similarly, Nehmar Ish Imoi V'Oviv Tiro'u, it says you should fear your father and mother. V'Nehmar Es Hashem Alekecha Tiro'a V'Oisei Savoid. You have the expression in the positive that you should fear Hashem and serve Hashem. So again, Hishvakos of Modas Avraim, the Modas Hamokam. So the Pasuk is also comparing the fear, the awe that a person should have for his parents to the fear and awe that he should have for Hashem. And another example, Nemar, so those are on the positive side. On the other hand, Nemar Makal of the Imam Moisumos, the Pasuk says that if a man curses his parents, then he's put to death. And v'nema ish ish ki yikalo l'kav v'nosas cheta. It says the same thing. If a person curses Hashem, then he bears his guilt, and he's also chayav misa. So we see also hishra kosov birkas avim birkas amokim. So we see also the Torah is equating cursing. This is more use the word blessing as a euphemism, of course. Blessing meaning really cursing his parents to doing the same thing to Hashem. Avo b'haka v'adai i'efshar. Now, on the other hand, you also have, the Torah says, make over the imay mosi yomah, that if a man hits his father or mother and wounds them, then he's chayiv nisa. There, it's impossible to make that equation, because, of course, he can't hit Hashem. What's the point of mentioning that? Wouldn't that be fairly obvious? Hamakne says, the point the Gemara wants to make with that is, you might wonder, how come it is, the fact is, when a person curses his parents, the misa he gets is skila. On the other hand, if he hits them and wounds them, the misa is chen, which is much more lenient. Why is that? He says that's what the Gemara is stressing over here. Because by klala, it's possible to do the same thing to Hashem, and that would make a person chayv skila, therefore the Torah upgrades his misa to skila if he does it to his parents. On the other hand, since hakar is impossible with Hashem anyway, so therefore it's left at kind of the default, which is chen. And the Gemara says, "B'chein b'din." In fact, it's logical. It's only right that it should be so that the kavod and moira and so forth for parents should be equal to that of Hashem. Because after all three of them, the father and mother and Hashem are all partners in creating the baby. Rashi brings from the Gemara in Nida the specifics. What does the father contribute toward the baby? What does the mother contribute? What does Hashem contribute? So it's only right, therefore, that the kavod of all of them should be. So the Gemara continues on that vein. Tanan Abanan, Shloisha Shutrin Hein Ba'odim. There are three partners in a person. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Va'ovi V'imai. Vizman Sha'odim Mechabin Es Ovi Ves Imai. When a person honors his parents, I consider it as though I lived between them, and they honored me. We know Ish ve'isha zochu shchina b'neihem, And like this, if they raise a child who has kibbud and who has covered avaim, kibbud avaim and murder avaim, then it means they did it, they did right. They deserve to have the Shekhinah resting between them. And so Hashem says, kibduni, they honored me by raising their son right. And the son himself is honoring, is tantamount to honoring me by honoring his parents. Further in this topic, Tanya, Rebbe Omer, Goliv Yadur, Nemi Sha'omer, Vahoya Olam, it's well known and revealed before Hashem, who spoke and the world came into being, Sheben Machabedis Ima Yosim Ovid. It's more natural when it comes to covered that a son is going to have more covered for his mother than his father. Because she sweet talks him. She, Rashi says the word Meshadaltim, Mefata, like she convinces him to do things. She speaks more softly and gently. Therefore, lefichach hichtim Hakadosh Baruch Hu kibud av kibud ein. Therefore, when it comes to kaved, the Torah puts the father first. In other words, you shouldn't think if the Torah had said kaved is imecha ve'asavicha, you would have said, okay, the aim, sure, I have more covered for her. The father maybe is less important. Therefore, fakir, the Torah puts the father first. Distress, don't think you have to have any less covered for him because he doesn't sweet talk you the way your mother does. On the other hand, the Hashem also knows good and well that a son naturally fears his father more than his mother, because the father teaches him Torah and teaches him and gives him Musar and so forth. So therefore, the fichah chikta makarish brochu moira ha'em moira ha'av. Therefore, when it comes to moira ish imoy v'aviv tiro, then Hashem puts the mother first. So you shouldn't think you have to have less moira for the mother than you do for the father. Which Maharshal says, in other words, the Gemara is mainly stressing the point why they're not in the same order in both places. Why it is that we don't have av before aim in both places, for example. So the idea is because kibud and moira, a person naturally has those tendencies.
Rashi brings this in
Chumash. Tony Tana Kameid Rav Nachman. Then a Tana taught a Braisa in front of Rav Nachman. Bizman Shadim Mitzayrus Aviv Vesimai. When a person troubles and pains his parents, Omer Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Then Hashem says the flip side of what we said before. Yofa Sisi Shalai Daiti Benehem. It's a good thing I don't live among them. If I lived among them, they would pain me and they would harass me as well. So again, the idea is that honoring and respecting parents is a gateway to honoring and respecting Hashem. And if a person doesn't have one, then he's not really going to do the other.
Why the Mishnah doesn't state it very clearly that honoring one's parents is honoring Hashem? It's still implied, but it's not explicit.
Well, because that's, we have the equation in the Pesukim, the same way as we learn many dinim from Gzeirah Shavas and things like that. In fact, by the way, Tosfos brings from a Yerushalmi over here that in a way Hashem is more makbid on kibud avaim more than a person's own kavod. In the sense, when it comes, what was the pasuk we quoted by kavod for Hashem? Kavod es Hashem mehoincha, from your wealth, and mehoincha is also mehoincha, from what Hashem favored you, from what Hashem gave you. So in other words, if you have money, then you're chayiv and covered of Hashem. If not, then you're potter. You're potter from many mitzvahs if you can't afford them. On the other hand, by kibud avaim, it says outright, kavod es avicha v'asimecha, whether you've got money or not. Even if you don't have money, the Yerushalmi brings up a son would be responsible to go beg in order to raise money to support his parents. So we see, in a way, the kavod of parents is even greater than the kavod of Hashem. Okay. Since we mentioned that this about Hashem dwelling among people, that when a person does kibud avaim, then Hashem is happy with him and says, I consider it as though I dwelt there and then they respected me, and the other way around if he doesn't. So now the Gemara digresses a little bit to talk about the Shekhinah of Hashem resting in this world. When a person does an aveda in secret, and he pretends as though Hashem is not watching him, he's only afraid of boss of Adam, by doing that, it's as if he's pushing away the feet of the Shekhinah. The heavens are my throne, the earth is my footstool. So now, like he's pushing away Hashem's feet. Tosfos brings in this connection, that would be based on a different Gemara, that would only be if he is able to overcome his Yetzirah. And he still says, I'm going to do the Aveira anyway, even though I could overcome my Yetzirah, but I'm afraid of people, so I'm going to do it in secret. There's a Gemara in Chagiga that talks about where a person Pashut has an uncontrollable Yetzirah, where then in a way it's better that he does, if he's going to do the Aveira anyway, let him do it in secret so that he's not causing a Chilul Hashem. So there's an interplay between those two points. Further in this connection, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, also the Adam Shehalach Arba Amos became a Skufa. A person is not allowed to walk 4 Amos with an erect posture. In other words, that he stands with his head held high. The Alter Rebbe defines it in Shulchan Aruch based on a Rambam that it means he walks in such a way that he can't see where his feet are, where he's placing his feet. So therefore, like, he has to take little mincing steps so he doesn't trip over things or whatever. The normal way is the proper way that Rambam describes in Hilchos Deis is that a person should be walking, or he doesn't have to, he shouldn't be walking around with his head hanging either. He should be walking, looking a little downward, like the way when you see a person walking around very preoccupied with his business or whatever, that he has his head tilted a little bit down. That's the way a person should be walking. So a person shouldn't be doing that he's walking b'kayma skufa. Shenema maloi chalaretz kavoyde. As the pasuk says, the entire world is full of Hashem's glory, and when he walks b'kayma skufa, it's like he's acting as though Hashem is not in this place. In fact, the Rav Shonim, we don't even have the words arba amos in here, so a person is not allowed to walk any amount with kayma skufa. Similarly, Rav Huna Bredi Rishua by Maski Abba Amos b'gilui arosh. Rav Huna Bredi Rishua would not walk even 4 amos with his head uncovered. Oh, no, because he said, Shechina l'mayla meroshi, the Shechina is above my head. So here you have, like we talked about yesterday, the machlokas we've shown him. Do we mean that in that time people didn't regularly wear yarmulkes at all, and Rav Huna Bredi Rishua made a point of wearing a yarmulke? Or do we mean, of course everybody wore a yarmulke, but he made a point of wearing an extra cover, a second covering, a hat or a turban or whatever. So the machlokas we've shown him on that point. Okay. Getting back now to Kibbutz Avraham. Shaul ben Almana achas as Rebbe Eliezer. The son of a certain Almana once asked Rebbe Eliezer, now, he didn't tell Rebbe Eliezer that he's a Yosim, but he's asking him a question in Halacha. Abba oimah hashkeni mayim, suppose my father says to me, I want a drink, and my mother is also asking for a drink, which one comes first? Amalei, so Rabbi Eliezer tells him, Hanach kvod imecha v'asei kvod avicha. Set aside for the moment the covered of your mother and do the covered of your father and serve him first. Sha'atav imcha chayim kvod avicha, because both you and your mother are chayim in the covered of your father. The wife also has to give covered to her husband. Then bol lifnei Rabbi Yeshua, the same Talmud came to ask Rabbi Yeshua the same question. Amalei kach, and Rabbi Yeshua gave him the same answer that the father comes first. So he asked him, Rebbe, what happens if the wife is divorced? Then she's not chayev in the covered of her husband before. Now, why is he asking that to Rabbi Yeshua when he didn't ask that to Rabbi Eliezer? So there's an explanation that Rabbi Eliezer gave him the reason behind the halacha. So therefore, we can figure out logically that must be the answer. If they're divorced, obviously that consideration doesn't apply. Rabbi Yeshua didn't give him that detail. He just told him the basic halacha that the husband goes first. So therefore, that raises the question, what if the father goes first? So then that would raise the question, what if they're divorced? Omale, so Rabbi Yeshua answers him, based on your eyelashes, Nikosha ben Almona Ata, I can tell that you're the son of an Almona, because your eyelashes have fallen out, or maybe not fallen out, but like they're growing longer than usual, because you're crying so much. We find the Rashi refers to a Gemara in Sanhedrin that mentions, for example, how Rav Gamliel was one time crying so excessively over the Churban that his eyelashes drooped over his eyes or fell out. So the same way, Rabbi Yeshua says to this Talmud, I see you're the same way, so I can tell you're the son of an Almana.
You won't have to pick it up.
No, that was Rabbi Yechanan had to pick up his eyelashes. There, it's just they grew long, but yeah. Anyway, so therefore, Rabbi Yeshua tells him, I can see, therefore, you're not asking this question as a practical shaila that you actually have, because you don't have both parents. You're just asking it as a question. So then, in that, you're just learning it to learn Torah. So the answer is, Hata lehen mayim b'seifel. Put water for them in a large shissel where they can both drink out of, the cattail, and the golem, and make noises for them like chickens, like you call when you put out water for chickens, like you make noises to uh, to attract them. So in other words, the point is, Rashi says he's saying kind of beloshim schoik. He's saying, look, you don't need to know this as practical halacha anyway. So therefore, you know what? Then fine. You know, like he's almost like making a gleich vertel out of it. Just put out enough water, put a seifel, like Marshall says, is big enough for both to drink out of, and then call them and they can decide among themselves who gets first. One point being, in other words, So he's saying, in other words, that why is he mentioning that the town of Golem? There's a couple of interesting explanations about that. We find in the Gemara in a few places two things about town of Golem. On the one hand, they're very promiscuous. They engage in tashmish a lot. The Gemara uses the expression that Tamil Chachamim shouldn't be with their wives to town of Golem. On the other hand, we find in the Gemara in Erevin that the town of Golem will appease his mate before and after he has relations with her. He'll sweet talk, except of course they don't talk, but like he makes gestures in a way to show, like, I'll give you everything that I could possibly have. So there's two different explanations over here. On the one hand, Rabbi Yeshua is telling him, look, if the parents are divorced, what are they doing being in the same household that in the first place there should be the possibility of both of them asking you to do something at the same time? They're acting like town of Golem, then. There's a problem over here with them living in the same household when they're not married. You can create problems like town of Golem. On the other hand, he also tells him, they can also be like town of Golem in the sense that Matthias, that they talk nicely to each other and therefore they can work it out among themselves. Anyway, the final halacha in that is that the son can do whichever one he wants first in that case, if the parents are divorced. Yeah, so you said then it's up to him. Then the choice is up to him. Gemara continues. Dorash Ulur Rabba Pischa de Benesia. Ulur Rabba gave the following drosha about Kibbut Avraham in front of the door of the Nossi, meaning it could mean the Nossi in Eretz Yisrael, or it could mean the Reish Galusa in Babel. Anyway, the drosha was, my dichtiv, what does it mean, a pasuk in Tehillim? Yoducha Hashem kol malchei aretz. Hashem, all the kings of the world will praise you, will thank you. Ki shomu imrei ficha, when they heard, because they heard the statements of your mouth. Now, my mar picha lo nemo, it didn't say the statement in washing yochid of your mouth, ela imrei ficha. The plural. So what does that mean? What statements in plural of Hashem did the Malchei Umos HaOlam hear that impressed them so much? So like this, B'shal Sh'amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Noshu Vele Yelach, Hashem started saying the Aseres HaDibros, and we know they were translated into all the languages so the Goyim are able to hear them as well. So, Omru, so they said, Omru Umos HaLuchloi, that's who Dirdish. You know why Hashem is giving the Jewish people these Dibros? Because he wants in his own cupboard, he wants that they should consider him their exclusive God and not worship anybody else and not take his name in vain. These are all for the cupboard of Hashem. But then when Hashem said the mitzvah, then they went and admitted, Yoducha Meloshin Moida, they admitted that the earlier Dibros were not Sam, Hashem just looking out for his own cupboard, but rather that these are things that are really necessary in order for the world and for the Jewish people to function. Rava Omer Mehocha, Rava says, you have another pasuk that expresses the same point. Roish Dvorcha Emes, and he's saying it in a few days by Tchiyas Shofar. So Roish Dvorcha Emes, so you gotta ask, what do you mean Roish Dvorcha V'lo Sof Dvorcha? Why is David saying only the beginning of Hashem's words are true? Are the end of Hashem's words not? By the later words of Hashem, and then Kabbalah Savicha Vesimecha can be called Soif, because it's the Soif, it's the end of the first Luach, of the Gibbers on the first Luach. From that we can see, from that the Umas Olam can see, that the earlier mitzvahs on that same Luach, on Noichi and Layi Elacha, and the rest of them, are also true, and that Hashem is not just doing them out of self-interest, but rather in order to Lutzarafem Sabrias, as the Medrash says, that the whole purpose of mitzvahs is in order to refine us. Maharsha says, by the way, a cute vortan, if he says the word Imre Ficha, the word Imre can also be related to the word Imra, which means the hem of a garment. So like, so to speak, the Dibra of Kabbid is the fifth one on the Luach. So it's like a behem, it's at the bottom of that Luach. And we're saying that the Goyim realized from that what the Dibra is all about. Okay. Bo minei merav ula. Ad heichan kibud avvaim. How far does kibud avvaim go? How much do you have to be willing to set aside for the purpose of, to lose for the purpose of kibud avvaim? So he tells them, Tzur Uma also Ubikachov Mechod Ba'ashkelon, the Domin Ben Nesina Shmoy. Go look at what a certain Goy in Ashkelon by the name of Domin Ben Nesina did. Pam achas bikshu chachamim tzakmati b'shishim ribos star. One time the chachamim wanted to buy something from him where he would make a profit of 600,000 gold dinar on it. V'yimafteach munach tachas min ha-shoytsev shal aviv. The key was under his father's pillow. V'leitzir, right? He didn't bother him. He didn't go wake him up. There's also the explanation that's brought from Tosfos, brings from the Yerushalmi, that the father's feet were on top of the box, so he couldn't just break open the box, because then also he'd be disturbing his father. An interesting point, though, that they make is, wouldn't the father have been happy that they should make such an enormous profit? Wouldn't he have been happy to be woken up? And al-pi halacha, maybe you would be allowed to in that case. Rav Moshe Feinstein talks about that maybe the Gemara is going to mention, we're going to talk about soon, about Dama ben Nissina's mother was crazy. Maybe his father was also crazy. So therefore he wouldn't appreciate the money, but he would object to being woken up.
So later on that he wanted to wake
him up. No, he didn't know. The Gemara didn't say that. No. So the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Shalom Rav Eliezer, Ad Heichem Kibud Avein. Again, how far does Kibud Av V'Ein go? So Rabbi Yezir tells them a similar story. I'm going to have Tzur'u with more details. Tzur'u ma'asa oivet kechav me'echa ba'ovid ba'ashkon v'damim ben nesin eshmoy. Bikshu mimena chachamim abonim la'efoid b'shishim ribay star. The chachamim were looking to buy stones from him for the efoid and he would have made a profit of 600,000 gold dinar on it. The Yerushalmi says specifically what it was is they lost the Yoshvei stone from the Choshen. The stone on the Choshen, the Yoshvei, which is the stone of Shevet Binyamin, had gotten lost and they needed a replacement. So they went to him and they were ready to buy one with a profit of 600,000 gold dinar. Rav Kahana masni b'shmonim rivoy. Rav Kahana learns that it wasn't 600,000, it was 800,000 profit he would have made. And of course it could be both. When he said, I won't want to sell it to you, maybe they upped the price. The key was under his father's pillow. He didn't wake him up. The next year, Hashem paid back his reward. The Pora Aduma was born in his herd, and now that's also worth an enormous amount of money. So the Chachmei Yisrael came to him to arrange to buy it. He says, I know how important the Pora Aduma is for you Jews. I know that if I could ask, that I could ask all the money in the world and you would give it to me because I have something that you can't get anywhere else. All I'm asking for is the money that I lost because of Kibud Avaim. Why Taka was a schar in this with Pora Aduma? So one point that's made actually is Kibud Av V'Ein is a very sichliistic mitzvah, and Dama ben Nissina is keeping it to perfection. But does he have the same mesiras nefesh for a mitzvah that is for a mitzvah for Milam Tam Badas? Pora Aduma is the quintessential choik. That already he wants money for, and yet the Jewish people are still willing to pay a huge amount of money for that. Showing, in other words, the mila of us Jewish people that we understand that the chukim are just as important as the mishpatim, where Dama ben Nissina didn't understand that concept. And Meshach Chochma, by the way, makes an interesting point. Why Davka did it happen with the Yoshvei stone? He says because Binyamin had more Kibud Av V'Ein than the other brothers. The other brothers sold Yosef. Yosef himself didn't tell Yaakov all the years Binyamin had the greater Kibud Av V'Ein than all the other brothers. Therefore, he deserves that his stone is the one that featured in the story of Kibud Av V'Ein. So V'omer Rav Chanina. So now Rav Chanina says you can learn from this. Uma misha ena mitzuma va'oisa kach. Madach, somebody like Dama ben Nissina, who's not actually commanded on Kibud Av V'Ein. It's not one of those Sheva mitzvahs. He's doing it because it's a sichliistika thing. And kach, Hashem gives him such an enormous reward. Mitzuma va'oisa, alach is kama v'kama. How much more so when a person is commanded, a yid who's commanded to do mitzvahs, how great a schar he can look forward to that Hashem will give him. As in fact, Rav Chanina says that someone who's commanded and does a mitzvah is greater than someone who does a mitzvah without being commanded. Why should that be? What's the logic? Tosfos says when a person is mitzvah v'oseh, he's more concerned about he might be over on it. When he's not mitzvah v'oseh, okay, I'm going to do it. But if I don't do it, big deal. I'm not so worried about it. So therefore, there's the greater schar. And then in Chassidus, there's the idea that when he's ain mitzvah v'oseh, so he's doing it for koyach atzmo. So how far can koyach atzmo go? A person is a baal gvul. Whereas when a person is mitzvah v'oseh, then he's doing it because the Eidish, the guilty baal gvul, told him. So therefore, that reaches a lot further.
That's why I've run.
do a bris until he was mitzvah. So the Gemara says, the Gemara mentions in this connection, Amar Rabbi Yosef. Now Rabbi Yosef was blind. May Reish, he says originally, before I heard the statement of Rav Chanina, Hava Amina, I used to think, Man da Hava Omali, Halacha could have Yehuda, Dram Summa Potem and Amitzvahs. If someone were to tell me that the Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, who holds in the Gemara in Bava Kama, which we'll get to in a few months, Bez Hashem, that a blind person of Yehuda holds is Potter from Mitzvahs, and he learns it from Sukkim over there. So Rabbi Yosef says, originally, I thought if that turns out to be the case, I would make a Suda to celebrate with the Chachamim, the Holam of Kanina Vahavidna, because I would say that's a great thing. In other words, I see that I have the Mila, even though I'm not commanded to do mitzvahs, I do them anyway. Now that I heard what Rav Chanina has to say, that just the opposite, the mitzvah of Oseh is greater. On the contrary, if someone comes and confirms to me that halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda, but rather like the Chachamim, that a blind person is just as much as Kayev Mitzvahs and anybody else, then Avidna Yematov Rabbanan, then I will make a yomtiv of Suda for the Chachamim to celebrate the fact that I have the advantage of mitzvah of Oseh. Tosfos, by the way, brings an interesting side point from this. We talked about the other day, when it comes to mitzvah sesa shazman groma, which women are potter from, can they make a brocha on it or not? Now, you have svardish poskim, the rif, the rambam that hold that not. It would be a brocha levatola. If they're not commanded, how can they say the brocha? Tosfos says, you consider over here, Rabbi Yosef is saying he would have been happy originally to be, before he heard Rabbi Chanina's statement, to be told he's potter from mitzvahs and is doing them anyway. Wouldn't he be upset that he's losing out on all the brachas? You see from that even somebody who's not commanded to do the mitzvahs can still say the bracha on them. So Tosfos uses that as a proof that women can say brachas on such mitzvahs. Lamaisa, it ends up being a difference between Ashkenazim and Sfaradim. So when you go on Mitzvah Shofar in a few days, or Mitzvah Lulav a couple of weeks after that, then whether, if you're doing for a woman, whether she's going to say a bracha or not is going to depend on whether she's an Ashkenazi or a Sfaradim. He also said Rabdimi Yomer. When Rabdimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he said, here's another detail about what Dama ben Nisina did as far as Kibud Avayim. One time he was wearing a sirkoin with gold. So Rashi explains that sirkoin is a silk garment, an expensive silk garment. Shalzahav means it was woven with golden threads. While Yoshe ben Gdolei Roimi, he was sitting among the great nobles of Rome. His mother came and ripped it off him, the clothing. Tosfos brings that she had gone crazy. The tough chalay al rosha, and she hit him on the head. The yokalay b'fonav, and she spit in his face. V'lohi chlima, and even with all of that, he didn't embarrass her. The Yerushalmi on this Mishnah tells the story as well, and adds her slipper fell off while she was hitting him with it. And instead of taking the slipper and throwing it away or something, he very gently handed it back to her. The Yerushalmi also mentions Sforta Goyish Akup. There was a stone that his father would always sit on. So Dama would never sit on it out of respect for his father. When his father died, he took the stone and made it into a getchka for himself. So that's the Goyish way of honoring his father. The Gemara continues. Toni Avimi Breid Rababohu. Yesh Machav Lo'oviv Pisyoni. There can be an example of a person who feeds his father Pisyoni, which is a very fat, juicy kind of bird. It's related to the slug that the Jews had in the Midbar. And you would think that's a great thing. Betodim in Olam. But he causes himself to be driven out of the world because he does it in a way that insults his father. On the other hand, you can have a person who makes his father work turning millstones, but he brings himself into Chaya El Rabba, and he gets a tremendous schar. Both Rashi and Tosfos bring the scenarios that with the Pisyoni, there was once a son who was doing that. He's feeding his father the best foods, and one time his father asked him, where are you affording all this? It costs a lot of money. And then the son basically says, shut up and eat. Just eat like the way dogs do. So he's giving him rich food, but he's insulting him. On the other hand, the Matkina Berachayim, the vote was, there was a family where the son is turning the millstones to grind wheat for the family. One day they get a notice that the father has been called up to serve the king to grind wheat for him. So the son says, I'll go instead of you and you stay behind here and do our family millstones because the work for the king is going to be a lot harder. They may beat you. They may insult you. They may do various other things. So I can handle it better than you. So he's causing his father to turn a millstone at home, which is a hard work, but he's Nevi'a L'chayel HaMabak. He's doing it out of respect for his father because the least worst alternative. So the Gemara continues, Amar Rav Abahu, Kegoin Avimi Bri. Let me give you the example of my son Avimi, Ki in Mitzvah's Kibbud. He's really being Mekayim, the Mitzvah of Kibbud Avim, in a tremendous way. What happened? Chamisha Boni Samchi Havi Avimi B'chaye Avim. Avimi himself had five sons that was Samchi while his father was alive. Samchi means that they had smicha, so they were already adults and they were already of a caliber even to have smicha. So Avimi himself is a chosh of a person. Another point, Marusha says samchi can also mean they were samuch al shochane, they're dependent on him for their parnasa. So he could easily ask when his father Rav Abahu needs something, he could ask one of them to do it. Anyway, nevertheless, when Rav Abahu would come to ki hava osa Rav Abahu, when Rav Abahu would come for a visit, v'kori abava, and he would call by the door, rohit v'ozo posachle, Avimi himself would run to go and open the door for Omar, and while he's running, he would say, Ain, Ain, yes, yes, meaning I'm coming, ad the matoy until he actually got there. One point is, Ben Yehoyada says he wanted to make it clear to everybody that he's running the covered his father, so therefore he would say Ain very loudly that everybody else should hear that he's going to do that, so they should learn from him to also have Kibbud Av of that caliber. Then the Gemara continues, one time Rav Abahu asked Avimi to get him a drink of water, by the time Avimi got back with the water, and you know, remember, it wasn't just going up to the going over the sink and turning a faucet involved, yeah. So by the time he got back, Nimnem, Rav Abahu had fallen asleep. Gochin Koyale, Avimi stood there, bent over his father with the water, Ad the Itar, until he woke up. Like, this way, his father shouldn't even have to wait a fraction of a second to get what he wanted. So Hashem helped Avimi. He had a zchus. V'dorash Avimi mizmor la'asav. He was able to darish in the capital mizmor la'asav. He was able to darish in it in a way that he didn't understand until now. Rashi and Tosfos say we're referring to capital Ayin Tes of Tilin. And Rashi brings one explanation as it means poshut the whole capital. He didn't fully understand it before. Now he understood it. Then Rashi and Tosfos both bring that it was specifically the beginning of the capital. Mizmor la'asav alakim bo goy menachasecha. Why Mizmor? It's talking about the Churban. It should be Kino La'asaf or something. And you have the famous explanation that Hashem took out his anger, Kavyochal, on the wooden stones of the Beis Mikdash rather than on the Jewish people. So he realized that point that he never realized before. Tosfos brings another point as well, that we have Tovu Ba'aretz Sha'areh, the gates of the Beis Mikdash sank into the ground. Osef, who's descended from Korach, is very happy about that, and it brings a marshal to the point of the nimshal being that once Hashem is schlepping the gates out of the ground, then he'll also schlep Korach and the rest of that group out of the ground as well, and therefore Osef is singing a mizmer about that. So now Avimi chapzik of that point that he never realized before, that was in the source of honoring his father. With that said, Pnei Yeshua has a very interesting explanation that the capital Mizmor La'asav actually refers not so much to capital Ayin Tes, but capital Ayin Gimel, which talks about why are we in Golus Edom so long. And then he realized because of the tremendous Kibbud Av V'Em that Esav had for his father, so that source lasts his generation, lasts his descendants for many, many generations. The same way, now that he did a huge amount of Kibbud Av, and the Eved to help him understand that point that he never understood before. So the Gemara continues, So Rav Yaakov Avu asks, what about a case like me? When I come home from the yeshiva, my father picks up a cup to give me a drink, the imam mazgali, and my father picks up the cup, the imam mazgali, and my mother pours and mixes the wine with the water. Heichi Eben, what should I do? It doesn't seem to be derech eretz if my parents should be serving me. Omalei, Sabai tells him, Me'imach kabel omar vuch lois kabel. You can accept that service from your mother, but not from your father. The kivin de bar toro hu, your father himself is a ben toro, he himself is a tamun chacham, kol shadayte, he may feel bad if you accept that service from him, and therefore, you shouldn't do, but your mother, who's not a Taman Chacham anyway, that if she feels that's more of a covenant for her to serve you a Taman Chacham, then go ahead.
What? Learn to do.
He's not taking when he had to come and he came home for whatever reason. No, his father is not taking off from his home. His father is home right now. So when the son comes home, his parents are there to greet him and they're giving him a drink. He must be hot and tired after coming from the Beis Medrash. But Abaya is telling him, no, the fact is your father is a Talmid Chacham and therefore you shouldn't be accepting such personal service from him. Because he himself would feel bad about that, that after all, he's a Talmid Chacham. It should be beneath his dignity really to be doing that. He's doing it only out of because you yourself are a Talmid Chacham, but better you should refuse that. Okay, so we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, with more stories and more dealing about Kibbutz Avraham.